message about abundant thanksgiving, being a very thankful person. I believe that we can equate spiritual maturity to thanksgiving. You want to know if you're growing. So I wonder if I'm growing in grace and in the knowledge of my Lord. Well, is your thanksgiving growing? If it's not, you're not. And so we'll see from the scripture tonight the importance of thanksgiving out of the book of Colossians. I'm going to hone in on one passage of scripture, but before I do, I want to have a word of prayer and then read some, and I hope you'll read along with me, just a few passages of scripture. The book of Colossians, I don't know what you know about the book of Colossians. It's one of those books that's a little different. It doesn't appear that the Apostle Paul started this church, nor his missionary team, which is a little different from some of the other, or really all the other Pauline epistles. He sent this letter. It appears that there was a couple of converts, Epaphras, which is Epaphroditus, and possibly Philemon, that was converted out of the outreach of Ephesus, and you kind of piece scripture together and you get this. And it was either out of Ephesus or it could have been Thessalonica, probably Ephesus. And those converts went over into Colossae, which is now, it's our modern day Turkey. That's where Colossae is. And a church was founded. And this church was growing and doing well. And then some, as always happens, some false teachers infiltrated the church and began to teach false doctrine. And so the Apostle Paul got word of this. He heard. And I'm not going to take the time to go into all this because I have a thought on my heart that I want to give you. And so there's so much in the background. But I would greatly encourage you to look at the background of the church of Colossae, the letter to the Colossian believers here, how that Paul heard of their faith and he heard of what was going on there. And it says a lot about Paul. It just says that, you know, Paul doesn't have to have his hands on everything to care about everything. Paul cared about people, whether they were people under his ministry or his converts. He just cared about Christians. And I think that as believers, we would do well to follow that example. So he wrote this letter, and I think that what Paul is wanting to show here is, listen, regardless of what state you're in, now he was in prison when he wrote this letter, and he constantly mentions being thankful. And that's what I want to talk to you tonight about, being thankful. You know? You say, well, I am thankful. I'm glad. I'm thankful that you're thankful. We all ought to be thankful. But now, sometimes it's easy to be thankful when things are going well, when all the needs are met, or at least most of them, and at least more that are met that are not. And things are going good, we're thankful. Now, some people are not even thankful then. But I wonder if we can be thankful, well, in prison, like Paul, when things are not going well. Can we still be thankful? And the Apostle Paul mentions some things here that I think would be helpful to us. And so let's have a word of prayer, and then we'll get into this book here. Father, thank you for your word, and thank you for this time together. Lord, we truly have so much to be thankful for. And I pray you'd help me to realize it more, that I could be more thankful and give and express my thankfulness more to you. And so I ask you to help us as we look into your word. God, make it real to us that we truly have so much to be thankful for. And help us to be a people of thanksgiving. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, look, if you would, in verse number 3 of chapter 1, the Apostle Paul said here, he said, we give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. And then he said in verse number 4, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus. And here again is a hint that he was not there, he was not the person. that was involved in birthing this church, and he had heard about what was going on here, and then he also heard about, well, some of the things that was happening and have creeping into the church, and he wrote to encourage them and to address that. Look down, if you would, at verse number 12. Verse number 12 is part of a prayer that the Apostle Paul begins. He begins a prayer in verse number 9. This is one of what is coined a prison prayer of the Apostle Paul. There are, we feel there's four of those, two to the church at Ephesus, Ephesians 1, Ephesians 3, one to the church of Philippi, and then this prayer here that was written to churches and in prison. Now, there was more prison prayers, but these are recorded prison prayers of the Apostle Paul, and they're really, really interesting to study and to learn from. And so in that prayer, in verse number 9, he says, "For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you." And he begins to talk to them about some of that prayer and maybe even rehearse some of the things that he prayed. And he gets down to verse number 12 and he says this, "Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light." And so the Apostle Paul said, listen, be thankful. Be thankful. And he said, be thankful to who? He said, be thankful to God. And then he said, be thankful for what? And notice what he said that they're to be thankful for. And I don't want to get bogged down here, but he said, be thankful because God hath made you meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints. Well, if we didn't have anything else to be thankful for, that would keep us thankful for a lifetime. Look at what he said in verse number 13. He said, because of that you have been delivered, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us unto the kingdom of his dear Son. What a wonderful thing to give thanks to God for. Look at verse 14. In whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Thank God. And Paul said, listen, be thankful. You may be going through a tough time. Maybe some people are turning against one another within the congregation, and there's false teachers that have crept in. Here was a man in prison writing this, and he said, don't forget who your God is and what your God has done for you. If you'll look over in the chapter number 2, he says again in verse number 7, he said, rooted, chapter 2, verse 7, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. And this is the verse I eventually want to come back to, that phrase, abounding. It's the picture of a overflowing river that's running over its banks. And he said, you let your thanksgiving be like a river that is overflowing its banks, an abounding. Don't be short in this category of thanksgiving. Let it be like a river that is overrunning its banks. Amen? Abound in this thing of thanksgiving. We'll come back to that. Chapter 3, he mentions again in verse number 15, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts. Chapter 3, verse 15, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Now, in this particular verse about thanksgiving, he's saying, listen, there's two things that always go together. Now watch it. Peace and praise. Peace, let the peace of God rule in your hearts, and praise, and be ye thankful. They go together. All right? So does prayer and praise. We'll see that in a moment. But you say, I want the peace of God in my heart. Let me ask you something. Are you giving God praise? They go together. When the peace of God is ruling in your heart, you can't help but give God the praise because he is the source of our peace. Look in chapter 3, verse 17. He mentions it again. This thanksgiving deals more with our deportment or our behavior. He says in verse 17, and whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father. Now watch these last two words, by him. Now you know what he's saying? He's saying, listen, if you're living a different life, if whatever you're doing in your words or your actions are different, It's because of Jesus Christ. Notice what he said here in verse number 17 again. Whatsoever you do in word, that's what you say, or deed, that's what you do. Do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus. You know why? Because he's the reason you're different. He's the reason you're saying the right things, and he's the reason you're doing the right things. And so thank him for it. Amen. That's what he says. He says, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. The same God that we thank Jesus for is the same Jesus that helps us to do what is right. You cannot live the Christian life apart from Jesus Christ. That's what he's saying. And so thank God that you can live the Christian life. This Christian life is a wonderful life. Amen? Amen. Nothing like it. Chapter 4, he mentions yet again this thing of thanksgiving. He said in verse number 2, continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. Sounds like what the Apostle Paul was saying is this: be thankful. Amen? Yes, I know you're going through a difficult time. Yes, I know that some false teachers have crept into your congregation, into your fellowship. I'm sitting here in prison. But we have a lot to be thankful for. And that's really what Paul was saying here. Can I tell you that we all go through difficult times? Some are right now going through things that I know little to nothing about. But God knows all about it. He knows all about it. And so, verse number 2 of chapter 4, continue in prayer. Continue in it. Whether you're going through rough waters or still waters, whether you're going through good times or not so good times, continue in prayer and be thankful, because prayer and praise go together, just like peace and praise. Now let's go back to chapter 2, and I want to hone in on this thing called thanksgiving and how it will help us. It's a barometer in our life. And I believe that this is what the Apostle Paul was saying. Now, I think there's probably more that he's saying in this section that we're going to look at here. I just want to look at it from this angle of thanksgiving. Brethren, it's missing in our culture, in our world. God constantly reminds me, be thankful. Be thankful. Son, I've done a lot for you. And God has. He's done so much for me. And I do not want to be ungrateful. I want to be thankful. And I believe you do. But we have to be reminded, don't we? And we need God to help us even to remember all that he's done for us and what he is doing. And not only that, what is yet to come. You know, and you add all these things up, and it's just really... It equals that we should be living a life of thanksgiving. We should be giving praise to God continually. And so here the scripture says in verse number 4 of chapter 2, just lay a little foundation here. He's saying, I know that there's people there who are trying to deceive and beguile you. In verse number 4, and this I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words. And he's been talking with them about these false teachers and about hardships in life and storms. And he said, I want to tell you how you ought to act in the face of this. And he begins to lay out, as Paul was, he was second only to the Lord Jesus Christ at laying out metaphors or drawing pictures. And so he begins to give them pictures of what the Christian life could be as we give thanks. Christian maturity is directly attached to thanksgiving. So don't forget that, okay? You say, well, I want to know how spiritual I am. Well, I'm getting ready to tell you how spiritual you are. How thankful are you? How thankful are you? So, well, I don't give thanks much. You're not very spiritual. So, well, you're not my judge. I know that, but this book is. I'm telling you what this book says. This book says if you don't give thanks much, you're not doing a lot of praying. Because prayer and thanksgiving go together. Just about, listen, there's not many times in the scripture that you find prayer that you won't find thanksgiving right with it or soon to follow. Prayer and praise go together. So does peace and praise. And so if there's contention in our hearts, then that means that there's this ongoing struggle where the flesh has too much power. You fill with the Spirit, God gives you peace. And you can speak to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart unto the Lord. Yes. And so spiritual maturity, spiritual growth is directly connected to gratefulness and to thanksgiving. So you say, well, how am I doing? You know, am I a very spiritual person? I don't know. But God does. And he said, mature Christians are thankful people. Strong Christians are grateful Christians. Let's see where we stand. The first thing that he addresses here is growing Christians. Christians that are growing. See, this is where I want to be. I want to be growing. Amen. Don't ever quit growing. Just keep growing. Notice what he says here in these metaphors, okay? The first thing he says here is he compares us to an army. In verse number 5, he says this. He says, and though I be absent in the flesh, yet am I with you in the Spirit, joying and beholding, look at these words, your order and steadfastness of your faith in Christ. Those two words are military words. Order, it means your standing or your rank, your steadfastness, your boldness, and your firmness in your stand. And they're military terms to show that you're part of an army and you're not going to wilt. You're strong as this army. And then he said in verse number 6, he compared the Christian life to not just an army, but to pilgrims. Notice what he said here. As ye have therefore received Christ, Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. In other words, you started with Christ, continue with Christ. Don't change. Amen. This life began with faith, let it continue with faith. Grow your faith. That's what he's saying. And so he said in verse number 6, be that pilgrim. Realize that you're passing through, you're just sojourning. Keep your eye on the goal. Stay with Christ. Don't get in with Christ and by faith and then choose something or someone else. It's all about Jesus, brethren. It's all about Jesus. And that's what the apostle's telling them. It's not about the newest teacher that comes on the scene, or the newest worship leader that comes on the scene, or the newest worship band that comes on the scene. It's all about Jesus. You got in this with Jesus, stick with Jesus. Look again at what he said at verse number 6. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord. That's how you got started. You received him. Look at what he said now. So walk ye in him. The pilgrim walk, stick with Jesus. Stick with the faith that got you in. Amen. Stick with that. Don't change up. Don't be blown about. Don't uproot and go to something else. Stick with that. A lot of people, listen, changing their stripe, mixing their colors. Don't you do that. Stand firm. Amen. Stand firm. Stand strong. Well, people are changing. Well, if you're going to change getting closer to Christ, not farther away from him. Amen. If you're going to change your position, change it moving closer to him. And so he said in verse number 5, be that army. Be in your place. You know what an army does? An army is not made up of generals. Know your place. Stand your post. Don't buckle in the storm. Don't buckle under fire. Stand firm. Stand strong. Fight. That's what he's saying. Fight the good fight of faith. Be a good soldier. Right? Then he said in verse number 6, be a good pilgrim. Walk. Walk. Walk with Christ. Stick with Jesus. Don't make this about a man. Don't make this about anything other than who it really is. Christianity, in a nutshell, is Jesus Christ. Amen. Stick with Jesus. Then he said in verse number 7, and this is where we want to get dig in a little bit. Because he ends this verse with this, abounding therein with thanksgiving. He continues the metaphors and he said, listen, grow. Be a growing Christian. Look what he said here in verse number 7. Rooted and built up in him. These are metaphors. Rooted is an agricultural metaphor. It speaks of trees. And oftentimes as Christians, we are referred to as trees. Trees planted by the rivers of water. Trees of life that get out the gospel of Jesus Christ. Trees that bear fruit in her season. And he said, be rooted. Let your roots go deep. Let your branches spread out. Be firm. Don't be a little twig that is blown about and the first storm that comes along blows you over. Let your roots go deep. Stand firm and tall like an old oak that has been around for years. And though the storms come, you can say, I shall not be moved. Be an oak. Be a tree. So he said, remember in verse number 5, you're part of an army. You're a pilgrim. And then he said, you're like a tree. And he said, let your roots go deep. The root system. What's Paul saying here, brethren? Now listen to me. You don't see the roots of a tree. He said, let your private life be where you get your strength. I'm glad you're here tonight. Would to God the place was full. And we had to people standing out the doors like they did in the early church age. I'm glad you're here. But this is not where strong Christians are made. It's the root system. It's not the branches. It's the root system. It's the private life. It's that that cannot be seen. That's where a man is made. That's where a lady's made. That's where Christianity is formed. In the privacy of my study, in the privacy of my closet, in the privacy of yours. And this is what the apostle's saying. Rooted. Rooted. So I want strong branches. I want a strong trunk. I want to stand strong. Well, let that root system go deep. Tap into something. Amen. And stick with it. Then he said this. He went from an agricultural to an architectural. He said, rooted and built up. He's talking about a building, no doubt. Christians are referred to as buildings. We're the building of God. Amen. We're fitly framed together as the church of Jesus Christ. And we have a sure foundation. Steadfast and sure. And other foundation can no man lay than that is laid. Jesus Christ our Lord. Aren't you glad for that? He is our foundation. And he said, you ought to be built up on that foundation. Jesus is our foundation. Build your Christian experience on him. On him. And God help me to do the same. And I believe you're doing that. Now we're talking about how to be thankful. We're talking about what it is to be thankful, to be mature. These are mature Christians. Mature Christians are not what you see always. Mature Christianity is not made in a church service or in a public eye. It's made in the privacy, in our devotional life, in our time that we spend with God alone. Now, this is needed, what we're doing here tonight, and I'm thankful for it. I'm thankful for it. Aren't you thankful for Wednesday night prayer meeting? I'm glad for midweek prayer service. I'm thankful for the Lord's Day. Don't misunderstand what I'm saying. I owe a lot to God's church. God's church has helped me along the way, and I am so thankful. Listen, most of the good that has happened in my life has happened because of God's church. And I'm thankful for it. I'm thankful for it. So don't misunderstand what I'm saying. I'm just saying that the good that has happened has mainly been because that God helped me to develop a private life, a devotional life, so that when I came, I brought my worship with me. I brought my listening ears. I brought my open heart. And that happens in the privacy of your home. Your public will always go back to your private. If your public's weak, your private's going to be weak, brethren. If your private's strong, your public will be strong. You understand what the preacher's saying, right? And so shore up your private. Shore up that personal time. That's what God's looking for. That's where the Christian life is molded and formed. That's where God forms his servant, brethren. He said here, rooted and built up. We're buildings of God. You know, there's some things about a building that I found very interesting. It's, number one, the space of a building. You know, those old buildings, many of them still stand today, and they're wonders of the world. When those people built buildings back in this day, brethren, they built buildings. Can I tell you, when God builds a building, he builds a building. Amen. And I'm not talking about buildings made with hands. There's space, and there's some depth to the foundation, and there's some light. They put windows in those buildings, and that's what we ought to have. We ought to have space for growth. We ought to have some depth to our life and some light in our life that, well, that is inviting to others. So the Apostle Paul said, rooted and grounded here in verse number 7, in him. And that's where it's at. It's not in a preacher. I thank God for preachers. I am one. And I thank God for the influence and impact that preachers have had on my life. But can I say Jesus has had the most profound impact on my life than any preacher? You could put all the preachers together that I've ever met, and it doesn't even pale in comparison to the impact that Jesus has had on my life. But I'm thankful for them and the place that God has for them and how they've helped me in my life. But if I'm going to be rooted now, if I'm going to be built up, and that's where we get our word edified. If I'm going to be rooted and built up, it's going to be, notice it again in verse number 7, in him. In him. We're talking about thanksgiving. We're thankful for him. I'm thankful for you. I hope you're thankful for me. But I sure am thankful for him. Man, God help me. God, please, I don't want to go through life ungrateful. Ungrateful. All that God has brought me from. All that God has brought me through. All that God has taken me to. I don't want to be unthankful. I don't. And I know you don't either. But there's an enemy, brethren. There's an enemy. And it's not just the devil. Sometimes it's me. Sometimes it's you. There's an enemy. There's this old flesh that doesn't want to give God the glory, that doesn't want to praise God, that doesn't want to thank God, that doesn't want to acknowledge him as the resource of all that I am and all that I ever hope to be. The old flesh wants to take credit sometimes. Say, well, I done it. I earned it. If we're not careful, we'll go from I done it to I earned it to I deserve it. And it's just not so. God done it. And God gifted it. And God is to receive all the glory for it. He said in verse number 7, he moves from a tree to a building. Notice this. And he says, and establishing the faith, I like this, as ye have been taught. You have to teach thanksgiving. And you have to teach people in the faith. Now, I think what he's talking about here is schooling. Scriptural schooling. I'm glad for it. Are you getting it? Scriptural schooling through study. You're here tonight, I'm trying to teach you something. Say, well, I know all this. Well, sometimes teaching is just review. It's just remind you. Amen? And he said here, he said, established in the faith. Are you mature? Are you established? Are you teachable? As you've been taught, this means they were teachable, brethren. You can't be taught anything if you're not teachable. You have to have a teachable spirit, a humble spirit. a hungry spirit. You've got a desire to know and to learn and to grow and realize, you know, I need to know more. I not only desire to know more, I need to know more. More about Jesus would I know. God, help me to know more of your word and more of your way. More of the workings of your spirit in my life. All of this is leading toward thanksgiving. All of these things are equated to thanksgiving here. Rooted people are thankful. Built up people are thankful. Established people are thankful. Taught people are thankful. You have to be taught to be thankful. You don't come into this world thankful. A child left to himself will never be thankful. I'm seeing a lot of those today. Parents, teach your children to be thankful. Amen. I read the story of a young man who unfortunately had parents who did not teach him thanksgiving until later in life. He got saved, and through the process of miracles in his life, he was taught the importance of thanksgiving. But he said when he was a boy, he recalled being at company. Some neighbors had a gathering, and as he was leaving, the host, the lady who was hosting that gathering, had an orange. And it was a big deal back then, and even if it wasn't, it was a gift, and she handed it to him. She handed him the orange as they were leaving. And he said he vividly remembered her handing him that orange, and then his mother said, "What do you say?" Never taught him anything about Thanksgiving, but now wants him to be thankful. You know how that works, don't you, parents? We never teach them, but yet we expect them to be that. It's not going to happen if we don't teach them. Quit expecting it if you're not instructing it. Amen. I'm not fussing at anybody. I'm just saying, hey, we've got to be real here. And so she handed him this orange, and his mom said, "What do you say?" And he handed it back to her and said, "Peel it." What an ungrateful heart. And many would look at that child and say, "Boy, I'd like to get him home and give him a what for. I think you need to get mom and dad home and give them a what for. And let them know you failed the test. You missed the assignment." Spend time teaching your children just the nominal manners of life. Thank you. You're welcome. May I? Please? The simplicity of some of these simple things in life seemingly have gone over our heads as parents and grandparents, and we no longer teach these things anymore. We're more concerned about pi and calculus and trigonometry. I tell you what, how about you getting those basic mannerisms down? And then we can work on that. Amen. There's a time for that. I'm for those things. But let's get what it is to be grateful down. You know, I want to brag on Nick. I'm going to brag on you, son. When Nick walked in the sanctuary tonight, I said, "How are you doing?" He was walking in. He was looking down. He was watching where he was going. That's a good thing to do. Amen. I have to do a lot of that these days, or I'm going to find out. I'll end up on the floor, Brother John. And he was looking down, and I stopped him. I said, "How you doing, Nick?" He stopped, number one. He didn't just shake my hand as he was moving. He stopped. He looked me in the eye, and he shook my hand and said, "Doing good. How are you?" Nick, that's good stuff. You say, "Well, preacher, that's nothing." Oh, so many people are missing that today. So many people. Listen, I've spoke to people, and they just walk right by you. Or just, "Yeah, how are you doing?" They won't even look at you. "Doing good." Murmur something. I don't know what they said. You know, I don't say that to be funny. That's sad. Teach your children just the basic manners of life. Look a person in the eye. Hey, listen, young man. Teach your son. A man shakes your hand. You stand to your feet. You look him in the eye, and you grab his hand, and you put a little pressure on it and you give him a good handshake and speak to him with confidence. Amen. We've quit teaching these things. And so what do we have? We had a bunch of people walking around, you know. Got their, you know, their pants down. What's up? That's what? That's ridiculous. It's ridiculous, brethren. You say, well, that's just culture, preacher. Well, change it. You change the culture if that's the culture in your home. Change it. And you teach your children respect for authority and respect for elders and respect for the things of God. If I caught one of my children throwing trash down in the church house or in the parking lot, I'm going to tell you right now, there's a fire alarm that would be going off. If I caught my children doing damage to church property, it's not going to end well. Know where your children are. Know who they're with. Know what they're doing. Amen. You say, what's this have to do with being thankful? Everything. Everything. Notice it again, and I'll bring this to a close. He said in verse number 7, and established in the faith, he goes from trees, listen, from army to pilgrims to trees to buildings to schooling. And he said, you've been established in the faith. That doesn't happen without some teaching. And he said, as ye have been taught. Stay pliable. Stay humble. Stay teachable. And the things that you have learned, pass them on to faithful men. Start in your home with your sons and daughters. Could I please impress that on you? It is so, so important. So important. Abounding therein with thanksgiving. That's the picture of the overflowing river. Abounding in thanksgiving. I don't abound in much. I'm not much. But if I could abound in one thing, I want to abound in thanksgiving. I want to abound in praise to my God for all that he has, is, and shall do for me. How about you? You want to be thankful? I believe you do. Are you thankful? I believe you are. Could we be more thankful? I think so. Are you a mature Christian? Not how much do you know. How thankful are you? How thankful are you? Not how many scriptures you can quote. How thankful are you? I believe that's the good gauge. Now listen, thank God that you can quote scripture. I praise God for that. I do. Quote, listen, memorizing scripture has been one of the greatest helps in my life. I greatly encourage it. But listen. How are you in this area of thanksgiving? Are you abounding in it? Can you say, the Apostle Paul said, I want you to abound in thanksgiving. Or do you find yourself just grumbling? Are you a contentious person? Do you find yourself arguing more than praising? Disagreeing more with encouraging? God help us. Help me. And God help you. Let's all stand. We'll have a word of prayer. And tonight, as we get into the next phase of our service, instead of taking prayer requests, if you have a prayer request, I want you to share it with Sister Doris. And it means something to us. I'm not making light of that. But tonight, I want us to abound in thanksgiving. When we close in prayer, we'll be seated, and we'll take about 10, 15 minutes. And I'll give you an opportunity just to abound in thanksgiving. Would you share with our church, before God, something you're thankful for? Would you? The way to abound in thanksgiving is to just share it. Our hearts should be so full of God that we can't help that it come out of our mouths. Father, help us. God, help us to be rooted, built up, established in the faith, abounding in thanksgiving. Lord, I want to thank you. God, thank you for what you've done in my life. Forgive me, Lord, for having an ungrateful heart in the times that I would not give you the honor and the glory and the thanksgiving that you deserve. Forgive me. God, be my helper. I do not want to fall short in this area. Of all of the shortcomings that I have, God, you know my heart. I do not want to come short in this area. Help me to be a thankful person. Help us to be a thankful people and a thankful church. Help us to know that with praise comes peace, and with prayer comes praise. God, help us. Help us. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated.